Okay, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's stand, all right, as we just read. We're going to be learning as we begin sobering lessons from the life of Lot. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 2. We will be using some of the passage in 2 Peter, but we'll be taking a lot from the book of Genesis. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, we read from verse 6 to verse number 9. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to verse number 9. I'll start at verse 6, and then we continue on until we finish to verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Verse 7. "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Verse 9, let's read together. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this lesson. We pray, Father, that help us to understand that everything that is written, Lord, even in the Old Testament, given for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we must have hope. Lord, we know the life of Lot, and many of us probably heard his name again and again. But I pray, Father, you open our hearts to some sobering lessons with regards to how we need to conduct our lives, Lord, in this sinful, sin-cursed, God-rejecting world. That, Father, we will not be conformed to it, but rather be transformed. So we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray you speak to us, use the lessons here, that we might grow, Father, closer and more like Christ every day. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray you guide my thoughts, my words, that whatever that is spoken, Lord, will be from heaven. Feed our souls tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. In the prayer just now, I actually mentioned that, but in Romans 15 verse 4, the Bible actually tells us, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Okay, everything in the Old Testament were written for our learning. Every word of God is pure, and everything in the Scriptures can be applied to our soul. Okay? Kind of like sometimes, you know, when you prepare a feast, you for those who prepare have prepared food before, many of those people who prepare the food, you may find it is a small tray or something here and a small condiment. Everything on the table actually is for something. Would you agree with that? Everything will be for some, maybe be a dip or maybe, you know, it's strange because sometimes when thank God our church has quite a number of Filipinos, and sometimes when they cook and they bring certain things and say, we kind of just look at this thing and just think, you know, say, no, you must dip in this one, you know, and they will make sure they have little sauces for everything, right? Kind of like the Word of God. Look, everything in the Word of God is applicable for us. Okay, it's just that whether it's the correct time, God can use every word to feed our soul. All right, so that's what we want to look at tonight. We're going to begin this whole 10 weeks of series of the Old Testament with quite a sobering character. Okay, all right, as much as the Bible says the Word of God is written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we can have hope. Sometimes the Word of God does give us warning as well. So tonight, we want to look at the life of this person by the name of Lot, okay? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. You don't have to turn. I'll just go through some things. And tonight will just be a snippet of his life. But we're just going to draw out some of this, the way he lived his life and what happened at the end. The title today is Lot, a Saved Soul, but a Lost Life. A saved soul, but a lost life. Teenagers, I want you to take note of this. Because when Lot started out, he had Abraham, his uncle, as his mentor. Until such time, he made a decision to walk away. And the moment he walked away, there was a downward slope all the way to the point of his entire life being destroyed. Okay? Some of you may remember, I think I shared before, and It is actually something which has happened in history. 1981, I believe, it was a Korean jetliner that flew, I think, from Philadelphia to go back to Korea or something. I can't remember all the details, but I do remember this. It went into, from where he flew, they were supposed to fly, but apparently they flew into Russian airspace. And in Russia, they were sent up their fighter planes and they brought the jet down. Okay, all, I think more than 200 over people died. Of course, there were a lot of inquiry and all that. And they found out the reason why the Korean jetliner actually went into Russian airspace. The pilot miscalculated the direction, the azimuth, I don't know, the direction by 1 degree. By 1 degree. So if it's, let's say it's 298, you call it 297. So 1 degree, you might find that it's a small direction, but you know what? 1 degree off, as you go further and further and further and further away, it goes further and further away from the actual course. And that led the jetliner to go into Russian airspace, and it was taken down by the fighter pilots. I heard this message many, many years ago, a few years ago, and the pastor was just saying, one wrong decision can cause an entire lifetime of pain. Agree? One wrong move. One wrong move, teenagers. One wrong move. One wrong decision in your life can take you off. All right? So we want to understand this principle. Okay? So in the New Testament language, Lot is a safe man, but he was only just safe. He was a worldly Christian who had a safe soul but a lost life. Because why? He lived for self and was in bondage to the things of his time and his senses. And he so became engulfed in the things of this life that he could not walk with God. All right, I want to highlight a few things from his life. Let's look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. Okay, I'll just give you snapshots of his life. Most of us already know some of these lessons, especially in Sunday school, I believe. In Sunday school, much I can teach you the story of Lot. Yes? Have you gone through the story of Lot? Richie, you know the story of Lot? Yes, yes, okay, so you should understand this, or at least the story content, okay? Genesis chapter 13, verse 1 to 11, we won't read the whole thing. The first point was, Lot lived by sight and not by faith, okay? There was a situation, Abraham was rich, Lot also had many cattle, both of them were in the same place. After a while, the servants of both started fighting. Abraham said, no, we be brethren, why are we fighting? And what did Abraham say? In verse 8, and Abraham said unto the Lord, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between thy herdmen and my brethren, for we be brethren. Okay? A very, very wonderful way of resolving conflicts. Acknowledge we belong to one another. Okay? We are Christians. We just say, look, we're Christians. Why are we fighting? All right? But you know what? What Abraham did was he gave in. Say, you choose. You want the right? I take the left. You want the left? I take the right. Children, can we do that at home? You know, if you do that at home, you have a lot of peace. Amen. You want the chicken wing? Never mind, I take a chicken thigh. You want the mutton? I take the beef. The recipe for peace in the house. Ken? Ken? Oh, don't look away from me. Ken? Children, can we practice this? Adults, can we practice this? No, just you go to the left, I go to the right. Recipe for peace. So parents, you can point to this passage for... Well, Abraham did that. And you know what Lot did? So, well, Lot was someone who capitalized on it. Well, in that case, now, really, Abraham? Yeah, okay. So what he did, the Bible says in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Okay? Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest under Zoar. In verse 11, Lot lifted up, he saw a very nice plain. It wasn't in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was near, in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And then, of course, you know the story, the rest of it, Lot began to live close to the world. Lot didn't live in the world, he lived close to it. You know why we preach separation? You know why we dogmatically say certain things? Because the Bible tells us if we live too close, you will fall in. You know, in the youth, we are taught one thing, right? What do you do with temptation? You don't fight temptation, you flee. We have no strength to fight temptation. But if you want to play alongside there, Satan likes to draw people close. Come. But he knows what to do to stumble you. Okay? So that was what Lot lived by sight, not by faith. That's the first point. He lived by sight. Lot lived by what he saw. The place was well watered. Hey, this is a good place for my... It'll be good for me. Man. Well, Abraham gave me, I mean, you know, blame me one. And then, wow, just take this. Yeah, it's very nice. And so, Lot went that direction. So, Lot lifted up his eyes and he went, he made a decision based on sight. That's a very dangerous thing to do. I'm not saying everything is nice, it's not God's will. Sometimes God does give us the blessings to enjoy. But you know what? We need to be living by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith and not by sight. Remember, every decision in the life of a Christian must be by faith. If it's not of faith, it is sin. In other words, you need to consult God in every decision you make. In every direction you go, you need to consult God. You mean even what I eat? Sometimes in some situations, yes. Maybe you have a medical condition, you may do have to seek the Lord. But you know what? All things we do must be to God's praise. The worldly Christian lays up treasure on earth and has little or no treasure in heaven. The worldly Christian walks by sight and is governed usually by the world's wisdom and standards, right? The herdsmen, they need water, they need grass for their the cattle. So what do Lot do? Go for the well-watered plain. Well-watered plain, all right? Number one, Lot's life was lost because he made his decisions on the flesh, not by, he lived by sight, not by, he lived by what he saw. So Christians, we need to be very careful when we make decisions. Not what you see every time is the right thing. You realize whatever you see and make a judgment of is oftentimes based on not just what you see, it's based on what you already know. And whether or not it's conforming to what you have in your brain. Does that make sense? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you keep looking at things, seeing things, reading things that are not right, you will make, and when you see certain things, you say, wow, that's nice, what? But already your principles are wrong. You need to be careful. Lot lived by that way. He lived by his sight, number one. Number two, let's turn to Genesis chapter 13. Okay, after that, what happened? Genesis chapter 13 again, in verse 12, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his hand towards Sodom. Towards Sodom, alright? Verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Switch over to Genesis chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible says, and it took Lot, Abraham's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Interesting, the Bible actually never said anything, but when Lot dwelt away from Sodom, suddenly in chapter 14, he's in Sodom. What happened? What happened? The Bible didn't say what happened, but if you know Satan, probably there was a lot of luring, a lot of attempt. Do you realize this world has a lot of temptations for the Christians? How many of you agree with that? A lot of everywhere you go is temptation. The rock music goes on constantly. Movies is on constantly. It's a constant indoctrination by the satanic world, or rather the spirits of this world, the satanic influences. And many times it caters to our flesh. It caters to our flesh. Okay, it caters to our flesh. Point number two, Lot made his home and sadly reared his children in wicked Sodom. He had a choice to stay out. I mean, he had a godly uncle. He had a godly uncle. But he didn't choose to live with that uncle. You may have a godly parent. You may have a godly mom. You may have a godly dad. You may have a godly Sunday school teacher. But children, you do have a choice of whether or not you want to live under that learning. Okay? And so what he did was, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, but later we find him living in Sodom. He was a prosperous citizen of Sodom, yeah, holding a high position in his civic and social life of the city. Lot was one of the VIPs. in Sodom. Remember when the angels came in Genesis chapter 19? Where was Lot? He was in the gates. The gates was a city for prominent people where they actually they made judgment. The gates of the particular area in those days, it's not like the gates we know. Just the gates is big castles, all right? And there's actually life and houses in between, even in the gates that they make, very, very big ones, all right? And Lot was one of the VIPs, one of the recognized people. He had a very high social standing in the world. He reared his children there. He was one of them. Probably he never intended to drift into worldly, sensual, God-dishonoring life of Sodom. Many Christians who want to live near this world never intend to go into the things of this world. But that's what the devil does. One step. You know, it's a sad thing because the warning has constantly been on separation. On Sunday, we'll talk a little bit about that. But separation is one of the things that, as a Christian, when we see the things of this world, we say, no, we don't want that because it's sinful. It draws us away from God. But you know what Christian does today with the things of this world? We ask, why not? Yes? Why cannot? Why I cannot? Can I say, the moment you ask that, there is actually... I was talking to a particular pastor who was very saddened by the departure of another pastor. And this pastor was sharing with this other pastor about a verse in Acts. Okay? And what the other pastor who departed asked a question. Basically, what he did was he looked at a particular passage. I can't remember which now. I know it's in the book of Acts. But this pastor was trying to ask him and telling him, this is in the Word of God. But the other pastor just begin to ask questions of the truth. Does that make sense? The truth is obviously there. He's asking question of the truth. You know what that is? I pointed out to him as he was sharing with me his sadness. And I said, no, you know what that is? The moment you question the truth, that's unbelief. All right? Some people say, Brother Johnny, there's a place for learning. Yes, there is. But you know what? The moment you ask questions of the truth, you know, especially teenagers, as you grow up and you make decisions, you know, you always ask, why cannot? Why cannot? You know what, parents? We need to have the right answers. But sometimes our right answers may not satisfy our children simply because if their heart is not set on the truth, you can have all the answers in this world. They're not going to be satisfied. Can I say this? When you ask a question of the Word of God, you conclude it and you put your decision based on that. Because many people ask questions of the truth. You know why? To reconcile with what they want to do, more than what God wants them to do. They begin to ask questions. Why? Why not? Why can't I do that? Why can't I do this? Why can't I go there? You know? And so what happened was, you know, the moment you start questioning, you then begin to... I've learned in my ministry, many people who ask a question, very soon no longer you see them anymore. You know why? Because I don't even have to... Just because of experience. You know, when a person goes down a certain direction, you can't stop them. Because the heart is already changed. And they just want people to okay their decisions. You know, let me share with you, in a multitude of counselors at safety, if you truly want to know the truth, don't just go to the people you're used to. Go to those people whom you're not used to, but you know they're godly people, and you're able to ask questions of them. And you know they'll give you an answer that is right. Remember Micaiah, and I think one, Micaiah, yeah, in the Bible, I can't remember the, who's that? Who's that? Old Testament king, sorry? Not the Hosophat, another king that say, I don't want to ask this prophet, he'll always tell me the things I don't like. Is it here? No, I don't think it's here. It's more in the book of... Sorry? There's another one, but anyway, I can't remember that king. But there was one king who said, I don't want to tell this prophet to come because he always tell me the thing, always against me one. So this prophet came and tell me whether I should go to war. You know, the king said, oh, go to war. You will sure win one. And the king said, don't joke with me. And then after the prophet said, you are going to die in a few. And then the other prophet was telling him, see, the king said, You see, this prophet always tell bad things of me. And then the prophet say, if you come back from your battle, God didn't speak. God didn't speak through me. Huh? First Kings. Okay, maybe that's it. I'm thinking of another one. Sorry, it's in the book of Judges. Sorry, in the book of Numbers, sorry. But what I'm saying is this. The challenge to a person who truly wants to seek God's will is that you are willing to listen even to people whom you know or will tell you something you don't like to hear. Many Christians don't like that. You know why? It goes against what we want. Lot gradually became central. His children, many Christians don't intend to go that way, but before long his life, his wife, his children were thoroughly imbued with the worldliness of Sodom. Dance mad, pleasure mad, drink mad, fashion mad, everything mad. And we know that even today, many Christians fall into the world. You know why we make a strong stand against rock music? You know why we want to be very clear that we stand against this thing? You know why? Because because we want to nip the problem in the bud before it comes in. And because many people today in modern day churches don't see the danger of this, don't see the danger of repetitive rock type of music, they don't see that danger, they don't see the danger of romantic comedies, they don't see the danger of oh, it's okay, like, a little bit touching here, it's okay. No, it's not. How many young people have lives have been destroyed because of one wrong move? Yeah, you say, Brother Johnny, don't worry, I can control myself. Remember that you've learned, you don't fight temptation, you flee it. You separate yourself from it. Lot made his home and reared his children in wicked Sodom. In 1 Peter chapter 1, let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. Peter was teaching the Jewish Christians, and he was using principles from the book of Leviticus. Alright? If you read the book of Leviticus, you will probably go in circles because there's a lot of things about the law, you know, about the sacrifice, and some people don't like to read the book of Leviticus. There was, I think Charlie Brown wrote something. Charlie Brown, when he was young, was dating this girl, and Charlie Brown was looking at this girl and said, to understand you is like trying to understand the book of Leviticus. So he didn't go down very well with the girl. But you know what? The book of Leviticus is the book that God spoke the most. Almost every word was from the mouth of God about his holiness. 1 Peter 1:14, Peter, who is a Jew, apostle to the Jews, exhorted the Jewish Christians as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. As obedient children, now your position right now as a Christian is an obedient child to God. Peter said, don't fashion, don't mold yourself, don't imitate the things of this world in your formal lust, which was according to your ignorance. You didn't know it was wrong. But now that you know it, what do? Shift. Because in verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, God the Father calls us is holy, so be holy in all manner of your behavior, all manner of your conversation. What you say, what you think, what you believe, your attitudes. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Lord made his home and reared his children in wicked Sodom. Parents, we need to, I'm sure many of our parents here are very dead set against allowing our children to be influenced by the things of this world. I can tell you, sometimes a little bit is too much. Satan doesn't need a foothold in your house. He just needs a finger hole. He just needs a small part. And what Satan does, his strategy is this. If you don't know him, Satan is willing to wait a long time. Did you know that? He's very patient. And there was one lady in the church who can say good things about everyone. So this pastor said, I'm sure you can't say bad things about Satan. No, this lady said, no, I can say good things about Satan. He's very patient. Satan can afford to wait. He can destroy you in 1 minute. He's willing to wait for 1 year. He can be willing for 10 years. Satan don't care how he destroys you as long as at the end your life is destroyed. And so if he has a finger hole in your life, maybe it's just one sin. Maybe it's just one rock music. Maybe it's one situation. Maybe it's just one thing. And all Satan does is just wait there. Then he waits for the proper time. And when he strikes, we're gone. Because Satan believes in the element of surprise. You know what is they call in battle? The element of surprise. But you know, in Christians who fall, like pastors who fall, like men who fall, or ladies who fall, it's called a moment of weakness. When you least expect it, Satan comes in. You know why we are so strong against all this? Because you look at the life of Lot, it was a gradual thing. He didn't immediate. When you backslide, it's not immediate on you. It's always gradual. But now that you know there are certain things you need to stay away from, Christians, let's take that seriously. All right, let's move on to the next point. Point number three, Lot was out of touch with God. Look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. Going back there again. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. The Bible says, "And the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him." Genesis 13, 14. Oh, children, please remember this. Even if you're a church member, remember this. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him." What's the implication of the word after? The moment when you get out of a place that you know there's godly influence, troubles comes. You're open season. You're sitting ducks. I can tell you that there are Christians we know today that have suffered the consequences of their sins simply because they left church. Simply because, not just church, they left the influence of people who spiritually cared for them. Amen? I think we all know people like that. And you're just wondering, why? Why? Anyone who leaves church, I always go through this personal self-evaluation. Did I or did the church do anything wrong? And then we have to repent. But if we haven't, Lord willing, it's because they stumbled at the word of God and they went out. But you know what Lot did? Lot, number one, lost the consciousness of the presence of God. Because he went out. He went out of godly influence. You know, some people today in the new contemporary worship thing, "Oh, I need to feel God. I need to feel the presence of God." Do you realize that God's presence is here? Because God's presence is in every Christian. And when you're within the presence, within God's, when you're among God's people, God's presence is there to encourage you. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged when people come on Friday nights. I'm encouraged by your faithfulness. I'm encouraged when people come on Sundays. I'm encouraged when people just walk out of the... They just say, "Hey, who's that guy?" Just walking into church is encouragement because God sends His encouragement there. Children, you are under the constant encouragement of your parents to walk with God. Don't be like Lot, walk away from the godly influence. You know, some people will say, "Brother Johnny, don't interrupt my life with the truth. I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want God to talk to me." Listen to this. I will tell you dogmatically, the moment you have that kind of thought, you're backsliding. Because you're only concerned about your own will. I've seen that again and again and again and again and again. There was one situation whereby there was this situation that happened. This brethren, I know he was discouraged about certain things. And so I went over to him, you know, before service many years ago and said, "Hey, brother so-and-so, you know, what's wrong? Johnny, don't talk to me. You know, I just want to clear my mind and I want God to speak to me." Today he's a Pentecostal church. He was brought up in a church that loves God, loves the truth, practice separation. Today he's in a charismatic church. I said, "What on earth has happened?" Because he left the truth. He left the truth. I'm saying this because there will be some people who are tempted to go that way. There are godly men and women who love us in this church. Speak to them. Wherever there are any issues, go to them. Don't lose touch. Don't like Lot separate himself from the influence of godly people. And then he lost the experience of the peace of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 9, let's turn there. These are very powerful verses because Of course, we oftentimes, how many of you believe that Lot is a safe man? When the Bible says he is, you can't argue with that. The Bible says he's righteous. But you know what happened to him? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 9, the Bible says there are two vexed there, which is very interesting. The Bible says in verse number 7, verse 9, and delivered just Lot, who vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The verse vexed has the idea of his being worn down. He's being constantly oppressed by the surrounding. In other words, when he sees the sin of the gays and homosexuals, how in the world can I do that? And, you know, like for some of us in our hearts, when we go to the shopping center and our children with us and all rock music, they say we want to get out of it as soon as possible. Because why? You're so oppressed by all the sin. And when you see an advertisement that have this lady who don't dress properly, you know, you will distract all your sons and get them to look elsewhere. You're just so oppressed. And sometimes people say, that's why I believe some Christian community just want to live out far, far away and just want to be by themselves. It doesn't work. God says you are in the world. But you know, Lot was vexed. He was worn down on a daily basis by sin. All over. The television shows, the music. I was told that by someone who goes to Japan, I'm not too sure, I haven't been to Japan, but the Japan channels have everything imaginable. All kinds of immorality, they're open to everything. Alright, Taiwan's the same. It just vex everywhere. It's just corruption. That's the first vex. A Christian, when living in that kind of surrounding, must have a Holy Spirit repulsion of that kind of lifestyle. Does that make sense? If you are genuinely a Christian and you look at the sin, there must be something. God, this is so bad. God is against you. Alright? And there must be that Holy Spirit repulsion. And he was worn down. But you know what? The second vexed in verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul. Number one, he was worn down by the surrounding. But number two, the word second vexed there has the idea of being tortured. He was tortured inwardly. You know why? Because Lot was righteous. He knew the influence of Abraham in his life, of the God of Abraham. But when he was in that setting, he was tortured. The Bible never said what he was tortured. The Bible did say he was tortured from day to day by their he was tortured by their unlawful deeds. But you know, he was still with them. He was still with them. A genuine Christian will have that fight against sin. No matter how far you are from God, you will still remember you are a Christian. But you know, Lot did never have the experience of the peace of God after he left. It was just worn down. Have you seen Christians who are constantly worn down by the thing? They're always complaining, always doing, always. Do you find that every time you be around them, you know, your face was a watermelon initially, you know, lots of smiley faces, and after that, you want to papaya. Because they are just constantly worn down. Why? Is it possible that within themselves, they have not surrendered to God and they lost that peace? Lot was like that. The Bible says in Isaiah 57 verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, where it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. In verse 21 of Isaiah 57, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. How can the Lord know peace in his heart when he's living in the world and all constantly surrounded by worldly people? Teens and every one of us, be careful what kind of friends you mix with. Be careful what kind of friends you make with. If the friends you mix with carry philosophies and influences you know is against the scriptures, you know what you need to do? As kindly as possible, spend less time with them. Because be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Need to be very careful. And the third thing, he lost touch with God. He lost the presence of God, the peace of God, and he lost the power of God. If he had any power in the first place. You realize one thing? Instead of being a power for God, he became a weak, worldly, disobedient man. His case was something like Samson. Remember Samson? He just went once, sunset, once. I want you to see one thing about Samson's life, a little bit aside from Lot, but you realize there were three things that Samson had to abide by in order to keep his power. Remember the three things? What are the three things that Samson must have in order to keep his power? What's the first thing? He was the Nazarene, right? So he had three things, right? What's the first one? He cannot drink any strong drink, right? Wine. He cannot touch any dead person, right? And somehow he cannot. Okay. And so what was the first thing he did? He drank wine. Okay? That was strike one for him. Strike one. God still had mercy. He still had the power, right? And then after that, he touched a dead lion. That was strike two. God's power was still on him. Notice God's grace and mercies. And then lastly, of course, the lion, oh, you don't love me. You don't tell me. You know, of course, Delilah lured him in the end. What happened? Tore him his heart, cut his hair. Strike three and said, God's that's enough. Lost his power, lost his life. As a result, you know, as Christians, sometimes we can still, if we live, can I say this? You can live for the world and still serve God, but you gradually lose your power. You'll find that after a while, there's no more joy in service. After a while, you kind of, really, I must go to church. You still come, you know, you still come after a while because of a nagging sin that you don't deal with. That was what happened to Lord. And after a while, God's Holy Spirit, can I say, God's Holy Spirit wants to strengthen us, amen? He wants to comfort us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to change our life. But you know, you keep pushing away. After all, I say, I've been trying so hard. Can you imagine Holy Spirit crying? She don't play your friend anymore. The Holy Spirit wants to encourage. You know, many Christians get weaker and weaker simply because they made a decision not to follow the right thing. And that was what happened to Lord. He lost touch with God. The moment he made the decision, was a wrong decision, he went to face Sodom and then he went there. He lost power of God. Point number four, he lost touch with God. Point number four, Lot had no influence for God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 19. Okay, now we're looking into Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19, life of Lot. Lot had no influence for God. He did not look like, he did not walk like, he did not act like a man of God. And nobody ever dreamed that he was one. As a believer, he should have exerted a powerful influence for the Lord. But because he was so weak and so worldly, his influence for God counted for nothing at all. Genesis chapter 19, he had no influence over the men of Sodom. Genesis chapter 1 verse 9, I think you all know. And the two angels came in, God has already planned, I'm going to destroy this city, you know. Please don't misunderstand. There are some Bibles, commentary Bibles, who says God destroyed Sodom because the Sodomites were inhospitable. That's rubbish. Okay, they're inhospitable to the angels. That's rubbish. God destroyed Sodom because of sin. All right. And so the two angels came to carry out God's wrath, and of course went in to Lot. Lot, we're here to get you out. And of course Lot knew what was going to happen. Hey guys, come. You better stay in my house tonight. Whereas Lot had some sense, went in, and then of course after a while, Lot, you know, there are some men who came, you know, come, let us make friends with them. I think you know what I mean. And of course he wanted to have immorality with these people. What did Lot do? What did Lot do? Brethren, do not so wickedly. Lot, a man of God, calling the wicked Sodomites brother. Hey, brothers, don't do so wicked. There was such a relationship in the world. Of course, he still knew what is right. Let's not do so wickedly. Tell you what, I've got two daughters. You do with them whatever you want. No dad in this room. of a right mind. You know what? You know the death. I believe the death now. Should I say, over my dead body, fight you. You know what Lord do? Two daughters, you go ahead. You know, but the man was so wicked. Don't want your daughters. We want them. Corruption. Lord had no influence over the man of God. You know, after that, of course, the man's going, wow, this guy come in and live among us, and now he wants to be a judge over us, huh? Lord had no influence over them. Genesis 19, verse 8, the Bible goes on to say, Lot had no influence over his children. We learn this from Genesis chapter 19. Verse 18, I believe the printing, 19. In verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he had said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay down in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be destroyed. And Lord said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. And you know, the children was laughing at him. Where's that verse? Sorry, the printing is something. Sorry, verse 14, Genesis 19, 14. And Lord went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, up, get out of this city, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his father. You mean all these years, you mean God's going to destroy this city? Huh? Who's God? You ever mentioned his name in 20 years? The Lord was in Sodom for 20 years. Hello? For the God is going to destroy this city, you must be joking. The Bible says what? Lord had no influence over his father-in-law. Or Lord had no influence over the men of Sodom, or over his children. When we learn this, I don't know about you, it's a sad thing for parents not to have influence over their children. It's a sad thing. One of these things I preach on authority. Parents have authority from God. Of course, the authority is loving authority. But you know what? There is authority. And children, you need to understand, God didn't put parents over us to oppress our lives, to make sure we walk with God. But you know what? Lord, when it came to the crunch, had no influence to save his own children. And then he had no influence over his own wife. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. He knew the rules. The angels told him, don't look back. What happened? His wife looked back. You know why did Lot's wife look back? Can you remember in the New Testament, Jesus mentioned Lot's wife in three words. What was that? Remember Lot's wife. What was Lot's wife? What's the problem with Lot's wife? When he was running out of the city, the fires of the angels said, if you're not out, God cannot rain judgment. Run and don't look back, right? And what happened to Lot's wife as she was running? My jewels. My money. Make him a sword. The world has such an attraction. You know why? You know, the Lord is teaching me about this. What I believe and what I stand for will be passed on to whoever under me. Even as pastor, I need to be careful. The place of influence God puts me in. You know, Christians, this is for Lord, it was a sad thing. Guess what? Lord, do you realize Lord lost his whole family? He lost his whole family in this situation. He lost his whole family. He had no influence to save them when it came to the crunch. The song story tells of her disobedience and, of course, a tragic end in the end. Apparently, in archaeological research, they apparently dug one column. I'm not too sure. They say this could be Lot's wife. So I don't know. All right? But I know it's a reminder. Lot had no influence. Parents, do we have influence over our children? I'm not talking. You better listen to me. I don't bash the brains out. Not that kind of influence. Okay? Because over time, children were just... My children are stronger than me now. So they don't bash me over the head. But I know it's that love for them and by God's grace, leading them in the right way. Do we have that loving influence over their lives? Point number five, very quickly. Lot then went from bad to worse, and he became hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Genesis 19, verse 15, and when the morning came, morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And why he lingered? The Lord himself was hesitant about leaving. Is there something in this life that you are not willing to give up for God? Is there something? That was what Lot was, what was, that was what's happening. Get out, your life is at stake. Don't look back. Masa. Masa. Christians, is there something in your life you won't give up for God? He went from bad to worse. He hesitated, which tells us that his conscience was, he was slow to obey God. He said, really, I must give up all this? Run to the mountains? I don't even have a city anymore, you know. I don't know where to live. Lot went from bad to worse. He became hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then in point number six, Lot lost his honor and was involved in shame with his own daughters. I think we all know after that, now the daughters became so corrupted with the things of this world. Begin to think, oh, all the men in this world is gone. And we got no one to give us seed. Well, let's commit incest with. And there was shame. It wasn't initiated by Lot. It was initiated by the daughters. You know, this is a very sad experience of Lot, whereby his sin, you know, one thing I believe about Lot, the Bible says, vexed his righteous soul. So probably, he's probably corrupted by some of the practices, but at least he knows, has some sense. But you know, the next generation doesn't have as much sense. Dr. Ron Comfort mentioned one thing, and I think some of us, I spoke to some of the men, they begin to realize this is so true. What this generation does is in moderation, the next will do in excess. I say again, what we do in this generation in moderation, thinking it's okay, the next generation who don't have that principle in their heart to control will do in excess. So which means we allow music that is wrong now, next time, within 20 years, we'll go down the rock and roll. It's a very concerning trend. This is an example from Scripture. The corruption of the city after 20 years have embedded into the children's life that they won't even dare to do this with their father. It was shame. And as a result of Lot's, of the sin, you know what happened? Look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 30. What was the offspring of this union? It was Moab and Ammon. Okay, you can read the story there. Genesis 19, verse 38. Moab and Ammon, from which came the most bitter enemies of Israel because of this sinful union. Okay, just the same as, remember, Abraham and Sarah and then Hagar, because of their sinful union as well, became the whole Arab nation that fights even up to this day. Finally, and this is important, finally let's look up 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, finally Lot was saved. Lot was saved, literally, yet so as by fire. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 to 15. First Corinthians chapter 2:3, verse 15. In the judgment seat of Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Apostle Paul actually teaches about how a Christian will be judged. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you look down to verse number 11, first, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Remember, this lesson is for Christians. Lot's life is for Christians. One day the Bible says that all our lives will be judged by all the works that we do, not our lives, but the works we do will be judged by fire. Will be judged by fire. And you know how to ensure. You know, God gave us an examination tip. How to ensure your work survived the fire? How do you ensure that your work survived the fire? You can build it with gold, silver, and precious stones. Or you can build it with wood, hay, and stubble. In the context, you realize Paul is actually saying the way you ensure your work is stable through the fire or strong through the fire or able to stand the fire is when you build it on the word of God. You read the context in 1 Corinthians 3. The foundation that Paul talks about, when you build your life, it must be on the Word of God. So every work you do, every attitude you have, must be strongly based on God's word. Because I can tell you, many Christians build their works of God on their own attitudes, on their own ways of thinking. And sometimes I don't do this because I don't feel like it, but no, I do this because I'm more comfortable. That is building on wood, hay, and stubble. And so when you actually go through the fire, what happens? It burns off. Because it's not built on the strong, concrete foundation of the Word of God. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. To this verse reinforces what Paul was teaching, and it's written by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This verse is always on my mind to make sure that when I live and fight the race of, or run the race of Christ, I make sure I run according to the rules. Look at verse number 5. 2 Timothy 2, 5. Let's read together, all right? Ready? 1, 2, go. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully, okay? If a man strive to attain unto what God would have for us, the rewards, you know, the Bible says you're not going to be crowned, except you strive what? Lawfully, according to the rules. And as a Christian, our Christian life must be according to the rules of God's word, right? Our lives must be governed by the spirit of the word of God and the word of God itself, what God says. It's not open to interpretation. No scripture is of any private interpretation, and therefore when we read it, we must understand it in the context of what the man of God wrote it, and we must understand it in that context. Not what we think, not what we feel, not what we... I believe God said this. You can believe till the cows come home. But if it's not in line in context of the Word of God, then it is not building on silver, precious stones, and gold. Okay? Going back to 1 Corinthians 2 again. I want this part about Lot being saved by fire. Later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, sorry, let me just... Chapter 3, the Bible then says, in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, he will be revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is, what's the quality of the work. What is the ministry of Brother Johnny? It will pass through the fire. And if it's built of wood, hay, and stubble, you guys will... Oh, Brother Johnny, all your work burn up. Then I will be ashamed. You know? But Sunday school teachers, wow, become brighter, you know, because fire purifies. The work becomes brighter, which means the work of God was built on the proper materials. In verse 14, Paul goes on to explain the outcome. If a man's work abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So if a man... whatever he is built in this life passes through and it abides through the fire, he will receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now that is one of the very perplexing. What do you mean by yet so as by fire? The idea there is every believer will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, yes? Every one of us will have to. Romans 14, verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 10 say we must stand. There we shall either be rewarded for faithfulness or we shall suffer loss, like Lot. Okay? And that particular place, our sins will not be judged at all because it is judged at the cross. Because we have accepted what Jesus has done for us. But what we do with our lives at the judgment seat, that will be judged. All believers will be saved, but some will be saved, yet so as by fire. What does it mean? The idea is that man being saved, after the man is saved, the man begins to build his life. Okay? He begins to build his life. Maybe he builds it on things that will not last. And at the last, when the fires of God's judgment come over, his works, his deeds, his actions are all burnt up. But he himself will be saved through the fire. The idea is with difficulty. That means after I become a Christian, I begin to build. And all around me, you know, God, I build everything that I build, Lord, I put it before it. How about me? How about me? No, you're safe. But everything you see will just crumble. Yet so as by fire. When we build our lives on anything but the doctrines of the Word of God, on the principles contained therein, we build our lives on anything else, we will never have stability in this world. and we will not have rewards in the next. This, in essence, in other words, as a Christian, you build, you do, you serve, you so-called serve, but you're serving in your own strength, and you live for the world. You know, there are Christians who say, why can't I... how many of you have heard of Keith Green? Keith Green is a rock musician. He's a Christian rock musician. He had this tape last time, many times in the 1980s. Some of you are not born yet. He actually said this: why must the devil have all the good music? And the good music he meant is rock music. And he's a Christian rock musician. But you know what? He was living for the world, serving God. And I say this: many Christians serve God, but live for themselves, live in the world. And when they build, they're not building with the proper materials that God actually wants them to build with. A proper attitude or heart of submission to God based on God's word. And so they begin to build. Because they need to build something, they need to serve. And so they serve with their own attitude. You know what happens at the end? The Bible says, if we build that way, not in line with God's word, at the end, when all that's said and done before God, like Lot, you know, from the Bible, it is clear he was affected by the sin, but he never changed. And at the end, in essence, in 1 Corinthians 3, is in essence a wasted life. You have built and built on what you thought was the doctrines of God, what you thought was the right way. And you refuse to be open to what God has to say, perhaps through counselors, through people who come in. And we're very adamant that the way we live is the right way. I dare not say that. Because in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, Paul says, look, judge nothing before the time, because even our own judgments are not right. Only God's judgment is right. But you know, we do the best we can based on what God's revealed word. And I say this, if the way you serve, the way you do things right now, you cannot find a biblical injunction, you cannot find a biblical principle, a biblical pattern of life, you're going down the wrong track. There are some Christians who, I just have to highlight this, that there's this, in America, there's this very big homeschool movement, okay, homeschool movement, and the philosophies and all that embedded in there are a bit concerning, because in the homeschool movement, the family becomes the God. And it's been said in Australia, some of the, they would actually miss church so they can go for their own activities as a homeschool. I don't find that in scripture. I don't find that. Every time church doors were open, the whole family was there worshiping God together. It's a very concerning trend, because we need to be very careful. Of course, we need to define what the homeschool is. It's a homeschool movement whereby you teach economy. It's a brand of lifestyle. But I dare say, yeah, there may be Christian type of thinking in there, but certainly it didn't include the local church, which is God's plan for the 21st, for this era. And if anything that excludes God's plan and puts God's program aside from where it should be, we need to be careful. Okay? And that's something I want us to be very clear. Lot lost everything except his salvation. The Bible never said whether Lot's wife was saved. The Bible never said whether Lot's daughters were saved. It's obvious they were not. The Bible never said whether Lot's son-in-laws were saved. You know, Abraham had a bargain with God. You can find 10 people in that city that's saved, I'll spare that city. Lot's family itself had 8. Just 2 more. Is it too hard? Just 2 more. You know how Lot was in Lot? How long was Lot in Sodom? 20 years. And he couldn't influence even his own family. God said, if you can find 10, I won't destroy. Lot was perhaps the light, but he lost that life. Christians, you know, I hope we will see this from God's perspective. 2 concerns as pastor. Everyone that comes to Ambassador, we need to be concerned about their salvation. Every single one. We don't say we're paranoid, but you know what? We need to be. asking them, you know, having that concern. But you know, the second concern as a pastor, are Christians, are we wasting our lives as Christians? You know, my heart one day that every one of us, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be able to bring some talents with us, amen? We should be able to bring something to Christ at the judgment seat. It is not even what I want you all to do. It's what the Bible says, let's repay what Jesus has done for us. So that one day when we stand before Him, God, I don't have much, but you know, Lord, I brought two souls to Jesus Christ. Lord, this is for you. You know what Jesus said? Well done. Christians, will we be like, Lord, had nothing to bring, nothing to give the God we love? Can that encourage us? Don't waste our lives. I just close with the thought. I think some of you may have read my Facebook. I was reading. The Bible actually says in Luke chapter 10, whereby Jesus gave the instruction when they were going out evangelizing. Jesus said, don't salute no man along the way. You know, that's a bit strange. You know, a friend comes, you know, you will probably salute him and say hi, right? The hi of the Palestinian time, during that time, and now is different. For us, it's, hey, hi, how are you? And then we walk off. The hi of those days is very interesting. They actually have a whole ritual when you meet someone along the way. Okay, like for example, if I meet Tim, and what I do is, hi, Tim, you know, and then he'll put his hand, and then what he'll do, he'll kiss. Then after that, he will, there's one part where he kissed the beard, and then do it about 10 times. And then they will pray, thank God that they met one another. To the point that sometimes they may lie down on the ground and thank God because they met one another. And then they repeat it again. And then after that, the next part, they start asking each other, how are you and your business? And the other person is obliged to give answers. And they can spend a whole time socializing. And when Jesus says, salute no man along the way, you know what he's saying? Don't waste time on these kind of things. Number one, because many of them are insincere anyway. How many of you have met friends, say hi and say, hey, how are you? But you know he's just patronizing you. Right? Yeah, so you love. It's happened. But you know what? The second one is Jesus says the urgency, there's an urgency of time. You know, God convicted me. We must stop wasting time over frivolous things. We must stop wasting time. Are we wasting? Are the things we're doing useful for eternity or to help someone? Are we spending time talking about, oh, hopefully this I don't know, all the new things that are happening in the world, hopefully this phone will come out, hopefully we talk about all things around the world except the salvation or perhaps care and concern for the spiritual nature of people. I'm not saying don't make small talk. Sometimes it's good to break the ice, but you know what? Christians, can I encourage us? I don't know, Jesus may come tomorrow. Let's spend our life meaningfully whereby we live it by God's word with a heart for God. And according to the scriptures, let's redeem the time. Let's minimize the wastage of our lives on frivolous things. Things that don't matter. And focus our life on the eternal. Alright, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I know I've talked so much. But Father, I pray that the principles that we see in the life of Lot will shine through. Father, we know, Lord, because we can be a Lot too. Father, we are so weak. The world is so strong. Many times, even in our own lives, Father, we fall. We only ask you for your forgiveness, number one. We accept your forgiveness, but God, we need your strength and your grace to help us overcome the weaknesses of our flesh. I pray, Father, for everyone who will hear this short exhortation from your word, that God, we will not have a wasted life. That God will begin to put away the things, Lord, that doesn't matter anymore. Father, if it's just to further our desires and further our motives and further our ambitions, and I pray, Father, we will just stop and take stock of it in the light of eternity, in the light of the sequence of things, in the light of many souls dying, going to hell. Lord, We ask your grace. Lord, I'm praying that the members of Ambassador Baptist Church will not have a wasted life. Their lives will be filled, Lord, with love for you. And God, that your will be accomplished in their life. I pray for every child that's growing up in every family, that they will apply the principles of God's word. Even in, like Lot and Abraham, how they resolve conflicts by esteeming the other better than themselves. Father, I pray that every teenager that grew up will have that heart to not want to go out from the influence of godly people, but to allow your spirit, lest we end up like Lot, lest we end up like Lot's wife, lest we end up like Lot's daughters, lest we end up like Lot's son and sons-in-law. Lord, have mercy on us in this world of sin and evil influences. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that in our families, our workplaces, we may not win the world, but we can touch one person for Christ. We can speak one kind word out of a heart of love for someone who needs it. And in our course of work and our living, you will use us to reach someone. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray, let's take some prayer requests as tonight as the men pray. Lord, you give us an answer to prayer in our hearts, Lord. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.